بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You tune in to Youth Talk on Radio Islam International, Medium Wave 1548, DSTV 826, and also simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7 in the East End. Alhamdulillah, beautiful morning here in Indonesia today, and the last Saturday in Ramadan. We're going to be talking today about celebrating Eid al-Fitr the Sunnah way. And I'm very pleased to have in studio with me Apa Fahima Bam. And we are going to be talking about the Sunnah method of celebrating Eid, preparations for Eid, what we should do on the night of Eid. You know, very big night, people take for granted, unfortunately, and we don't realize there's so much of mercy and blessings that are sent down on that night. So inshallah, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Our lines will be open on 011-854-1548. So please do call us and share with us your experiences regarding Eid, maybe something that you and your family do, that you encourage the youth to do. Please remember that obviously whatever it is that we are discussing, our niyat inshallah is to increase our knowledge inshallah, and first and foremost it is a reminder to myself and to my beloved listeners. Also inshallah at 9:30 after the first ad break, we will be also speaking to Maulana Muhammad Azim Khatib, who is on the executive of the National Prison Board of South Africa. So inshallah, please also stay tuned for that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Apa Fahima Bam, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Sister Aisha?
Shukr alhamdulillah. A little bit under the weather. I'm sure you can see my hand accessories today. A small operation that I've had this Tuesday. But alhamdulillah, with the grace and mercy of Allah and everybody's du'as, I'm getting there. Alhamdulillah, shukr.
Jazakallah. Before we start, let me just thank you in advance for having us again on air. Alhamdulillah. And of course, I know you and I speak often, and when we speak, subhanAllah, all these ideas come popping out. So inshallah, we see each other again and again.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. It's always, it's so good, you know, when it comes to our deen, obviously it's our responsibility to continue learning. You will never ever know enough. And you know, we need to learn from the cradle till the grave, to the grave. So inshallah, you know, may Allah accept from us. And let us inshallah, like we say, a reminder to all of us, and to empower our youth in the communities inshallah, that are tuned in, inshallah. Now, lots of jubilation right now. I think, I won't say so much of jubilation. I'll just say, I think more stress, and parents are thinking, I need to get this done. I need to get my e-shopping done. You know, preparations for meals underway, breakfast, lunch, supper, baking all underway. You know, with a lot of excitement that Eid is drawing near. Also, a lot of sadness that Ramadan is coming to an end. What a beautiful month, alhamdulillah. What are your thoughts about all of this right now? What's about the rush right now?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, I'll start off by the bittersweet aspect of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. I think as we get older, subhanAllah, we realize that spiritual merit in Ramadan, and you feel that connection with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you realize that, you know, our time is not yours. Mm. You do not know when Allah ta'ala will snatch that last breath out of you. So you want your Ramadan to be even better than it was the previous years. And many of us can relate to looking back at Ramadan maybe in 1437 or 1436, and I finished so much Quran and I did so much of this. And, you know, apart from the awesome iftars that our moms put out as a spread every evening, subhanAllah, apart from that, you realize the growth that has overcome you spiritually. And I think that's the bittersweet aspect, that once Ramadan goes, a lot of us stop focusing on our ibadah and we start focusing back on life and loving. And it's not that we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's just that the way our priorities flow after Ramadan, it's not so much on ibadah as it was within Ramadan. So I think for me personally, I know I go through this dip, should I say, after Ramadan, where I miss it, I long for it, I desire that extra time to read, to make ibadah, to read the dhikr, whatever it may be.
But I think very important is, you know, we can make this firm intention, we make this niyat that Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, let this Ramadan be the best Ramadan, inshallah. And grant us the ability that Ya Allah, whatever I'm doing now in Ramadan, inshallah, grant me barakat my time. Yes, to make even more ibadah and to be even better than I was in Ramadan, inshallah. That must be our niyat. That is so important in upholding our good deeds and our good behavior.
Yes,
because like we say, time is so short, especially in Ramadan. You often hear people say, time's just gone. And yes, things, what have I done with this time?
Of course. And that, I think that's one of the life lessons to take out from Ramadan, that you've been given a month, and when it starts, you say, so long, so much time. And before you realize, like in a blink of an eye, you'll be, it's the last Saturday of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. And like I said again, you realize that, what have I been doing over the past couple of weeks? You know, like, have I done enough? Have I exerted myself enough? But inshallah, we'll speak about that.
Inshallah, ameen. Abba Fahima, please tell us, what does Hadith say about Eid?
Okay. So, firstly, when we speak about Eid, and we speak about the culture of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in such an era where there were so many different cultures and there were so many different thoughts. And of course, you had your set religions, which of course is Christianity and Judaism, etc. But there's a specific hadith where it speaks of Anas radiallahu ta'ala and narrates this hadith, and he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Medina, and when he was in Medina, he actually noticed that they celebrated two particular days, and these days that they celebrated was very frivolous and wasteful. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something to this effect. He says, "Ukullu qawmin eidun," like, for every nation there is an Eid, wahada eiduna, and this is our Eid, and he has referred to the Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something just so remarkable. You know, just when you and I were discussing this entire thing, the aspect of human tendencies comes up, and you speak of celebration. It's within the core of humans to celebrate, to enjoy certain things. Like if we have an achievement, for example, we want people to know of this achievement. If a baby is born, subhanallah, we give out little treats, and we hope also that sadaqah for the child, etc. And that's the aqiqah attached to it as well. So when it comes to Eid, I mean, we have fasted for the full 29-30 days, and in that time, subhanallah, we have achieved something, whether it's through our exertion, our ibadat, our little ones, some of them fasting for the very first time, a full 30 days, and subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that that Eid al-Fitr is our achievement that is going to be glorified and celebrated, inshallah ta'ala. So in fact, it goes something like this. I just wrote down a little bit something just to make it so our listeners can understand, inshallah ta'ala. It says, according to Ibn Abidin, who is a famous scholar, Eid is a day of renewed bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, Allah ta'ala distributes his blessings to all his servants, and we are permitted festivity of food, and as Muslims abstain from this an entire month, and we also ask to give basic alms called sadaqah al-fitr. And if you have to look into the tafsir of Surah Bayana, you will find that three things were common amongst all faiths. The one was belief in Allah, the one was zakah or charity, and the one was prayer. And if you look at the day of Eid, both Eids, that's exactly what we do. We glorify our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do so in such a beautiful way because we have the Eid Salah. And then of course the giving of charity, and we understand Sadaqah al-Fitr is so important, and the zakah, most of us, subhanallah, wait for Ramadan. Somehow we don't calculate Ramadan out. We don't calculate zakat out of Ramadan, sorry. So many of us discharge our zakat in this month, and by the day Eid comes, or the day of the morning of Eid, subhanallah, you will find that our yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala has been renewed, and that generosity sets in, where we understand that we may be generous, but we want Allah Ta'ala to be more generous with us as well.
You know? Definitely. Most definitely.
Taking that into consideration, our entire Eid is based on those three things: glorification of Allah, upholding the poor through our charity and our zakat, and then of course this aspect here of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find that everything that we do on Eid day won't take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anything, it will remind us of Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala. We make dua that we indulge in activities that does that,
inshallah.
We're going to talk about that just now. But sister, please explain to us, you know, what was the practice of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Eid al-Fitr? Like preparation, you know, like after Fajr, you know, getting ready for the Eidgah. What would Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahabas do?
Okay, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina when they celebrated the first Eid al-Fitr. We know Ramadan became Fard in the second year of Hijri, and therefore there's no reference prior to that. But what we do know is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take a ghusl on the day, and he would proceed to what is written in the kitab, as I understand, the musalla. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perfume himself and also wear the best garment within his closet. And just reading up on this, you realize that this was the same garment Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wore on a Friday. So many of us, alhamdulillah, we are in a capacity to buy clothes for Eid, but understand that it is not necessary to go out and purchase an outfit or outfits. Wear what is best within your cupboard. And many of us, mashallah, do uphold that sunnah, especially our men, of taking a ghusl on a Jum'ah, whereby they make proper miswak, etc. And when they leave home, they're wearing their best thawb or their best kurta. And they can wear that exact same kurta also because it's their best to wear it on the day of Eid. And this applies to our women as well. So this was the start to the day. And then there's a hadith in which it says that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and this hadith actually comes from Mishkat Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his room, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and who walked in. And outside there were a few women and girls that were chanting little poetry and songs and whatever have you. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala attempted to keep them quiet. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, leave them. This is a joyous occasion. Like, let them be festive. So we understand from this that it's so important that on Eid, allow your festivities but within the ambit of Sharia. Don't, of course, now go without that ambit of Sharia whereby we are going to the movies, astaghfirullah, or maybe we are putting on music so loud. All those good deeds and all this good spirituality that we have accumulated over Ramadan is basically going to be lost in just a day. So you find many girls and boys, mashallah, just, we'll touch on this later on. We find even with the clothing throughout Ramadan, alhamdulillah, effort is made to wear a better hijab. Girls are covering their hair. But on the day of Eid, now they're intermingling with the opposite gender, and in the same vein, the scarf is off or the dupatta is off and the hair is exposed, and you know where I'm going with
that. I know where we're going with that. So like you said, obviously, you know, celebration, you know, showing gratitude to Allah that we have reached, you know, been able to fast during Ramadan, and you know, now we're celebrating Eid. But obviously, remember that Allah is watching. You know, celebrate in a manner that Allah will be pleased with you. There's no harm in being with family and friends and being happy and enjoying food, enjoying their company. And very important also, you know, maintaining family ties.
Of course.
That's very, very important as well. I think we... okay, we're going to continue, inshallah. You know, suggested meal to eat in the morning, inshallah, because I know we always say Nabi Muhammad SAW was very fond of dates.
Yes. So, alhamdulillah, you will find that during the day of Eid, many of us have sweetmeats in our homes.
Yes.
I mean, you have mitais, you have baklava, you have so many different variety.
Yes.
But we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, particularly on the day of Eid al-Fitr. Now, please understand, many people are of the opinion that you're supposed to fast from Fajr up till the Eid Salah is complete. This is not reference to Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr is a joyous day. It's a day that you're allowed to eat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually partook of certain dates, or he ate dates prior to going for Eid Salah. And this is indicative towards us also that we are allowed to eat something sweet. And then, of course, we find from various texts that when the men used to go for Eid Salah, they used to take two different routes. One for going, and when they returned on a different route. And there's a beautiful kitab by Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani, rahmatullah alayhi, where it speaks of the wisdoms behind why actions were done. And they said one of the wisdoms behind this particular action is that Allah Ta'ala makes it such that every animate and inanimate object will testify for us on the day of Qiyamah. So if you take one route going to the masjid and you take another route coming, all the stones, all the trees, all the objects of nature, subhanAllah, they are your witness.
Muslim,
they are shahidi. They are witness to you going for this Eid Salah. And they are witness that you celebrated. And I read this and I said, subhanAllah, like how great is
Allah. Allah
is. And apart from that also, if anybody else has to view the Muslim community and they see so many of us, they get the impression that, look at this, subhanAllah, this is a very strong community. And when it comes to worshipping Allah, they are there, out there, willing to worship
the
Allah.
The sense of brotherhood and unity, alhamdulillah.
Yes.
Most
yes.
definitely. Now, Afa, please, you know, like we spoke about the night of Eid, I just touched on it very briefly when we started the program. You know, the news when the moon is sighted and everyone's very excited. And we forget that this is such a significant night. This is a night filled with so much of blessings and so much of rahmah from Allah. It should be, we should be making dua. We should be, you know, begging Allah to accept our rozas and grant us hidayah to continue in that manner after Ramadan. But unfortunately, we get very busy doing other things.
Yes.
So please share with us information regarding that, regarding the practice of Nabi Muhammad on the night of Eid.
Okay. So when you look at Eid itself, you know, I think humans being humans and having that tendency where we forget very easily,
mm-hmm.
you go from this high of spirituality and connecting with Allah and Taraweeh, and suddenly, alhamdulillah, the moon is sighted, and after the sighting of the moon, you notice that all the mums are going straight to the kitchen, sorting mm-hmm. out this and the other, and packing bags, and we have to go here, and we have to do this, subhanAllah. And suddenly, focus is all on that celebration, and focus is not on the Creator who gave us the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to the hadith, subhanAllah, and I'm actually going to read the actual text in front of me, not the Arabic, but the English, it says, on the night of Eid al-Fitr, the night that is called Laylatul Jaiza. Now, Jaiza is a night of prize giving. And you know, subhanAllah, that, you know, when we have kids in a secular or an environment in terms of institution, etc., and you find that they have done very well, at the end of the year they are given some sort of accolade, some sort of prize.
Yes.
And then you will note also that the happiness that spreads up on these children's faces, and their parents are equally proud. Sometimes parents are more proud than their children, subhanAllah. And Eid night is that night for us. You've spent 30 days curbing yourself, restricting yourself, shortening your sleep, and staying away from food, and you're doing it all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
And here the night of Eid comes. Okay, before I go to the night of Eid, I love this aspect here. It says there's a kitab called Tanbihul Ghafilin, and in there it's mentioned that somebody asked the pious man, how do I start my day?
Mm-hmm.
And this pious man turned to him and said, you should rather ask yourself, how do you go to bed at night? Because your last thought at night is going to be your first thought in the morning. And that, I think, sums it up for me personally,
yeah.
that if I am going to spend the night of Eid worrying about whether my shoe genuinely matches the color of my abaya, or worrying about, subhanAllah, you know what, did I do enough for tomorrow? Let me focus my attention to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, just to go back to the text, it says, on the night of Eid al-Fitr, the night that is called Laylatul Jaiza, the night of prize giving comes along. On the morning of Eid, Allah sends down malaika to all the lands of the earth, where they take positions at access points on roads, calling out with a voice that is heard by all except man and jinn. And these malaika say, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come forth from your homes towards your Lord, that is noble and gracious, who grants much and pardons the major sins. And when they proceed towards the places for their Eid Salah, Allah Ta'ala says to the Malaika, what indeed is the reward of that servant who rendered his services? And the Malaika replied, O Allah and Master, it is only right that he should receive his full reward for his services. Allah then says, I call you to witness, O my Malaika, that for their having fasted during the month of Ramadan and for having stood before me in the night, I have granted them a reward which is my pleasure, and I have granted them forgiveness.
Subhanallah.
And it starts from the night before. And it's actually mustahab to stay awake, but more make tahajjud salah like we did in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And also I think what we can do, many of us, subhanAllah, have customs that we pass down to our children. So maybe what we can do, inshallah, and this is just tarheeb, encouragement, encourage our children to read 2 rakat extra salah, or read that extra tasbih, and tell them what a ni'mat it is, firstly, to reach the end of Ramadan. There are family members that start the Ramadan and don't see the end of it. That's
definitely
the one. And what a ni'mat it is to have a home, to have family around you. And tell them that even though we are now in the celebration mode, don't forget that Allah gave us all these ni'mats.
Most definitely, most definitely. Now, it's so important that you're ending off on that point for this session, because inshallah, after the break, we're going to be speaking to Maulana Muhammad Azim Khatib, who is on the executive of the National Prison Board of South Africa, and he's going to be telling us, sharing with the listeners, how our Muslim brothers and sisters spend Eid al-Fitr and Ramadan in prison. So a lot of the things that we take for granted, you know, for us, food for thought, things that we need to think about. So inshallah, we're going to continue our discussion
inshallah
after the ad break, inshallah. Please call us on 011-854-1548 and we will return back shortly, inshallah. Hey. Rahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Radio Islam International, Medium Wave 1548, DSTV 826, and also simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. Our topic for today is the Sunnah way of celebrating Eid al-Fitr. Alhamdulillah, in studio with me, I have Apa Fahima Bam, and we have been speaking about how Eid should be celebrated, the recommended way, the way in which, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us and accept from us. Please also just to remind our listeners that Youth Talk will go back to the 10 between the 10 and 11 a.m. slot, inshallah, after Ramadan, if it has just been for the month of Ramadan, that our show has been at 9 a.m. Now, on the line, we have my next guest, who is Maulana Muhammad Azim Khatib, who is the second deputy chairperson of the National Muslim Prison Board of South Africa. He is also an executive member of the Muslim Prison Board in the Western Cape, amongst many, many other titles. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Azim Khatib.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Bibi Aisha, and to all the listeners.
Jazakumullahu khairu. Maulana Azim, I know you're such a busy person, and I'm so grateful that you have made the time to share such valuable information with my listeners and I. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Jazakallah.
Okay, Maulana, now, you know, we were talking about Eid al-Fitr and, you know, the jubilation surrounding Eid al-Fitr and, you know, families getting together. But please share with my listeners and I, when it comes to Eid al-Fitr for our brothers and sisters that are in prison, what is the scenario like?
Alhamdulillah, Bibi Aisha, we must make sure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, that we are free and that we are able to go to any mosque in our vicinity. Unfortunately, for those who are incarcerated, and I heard you spoke earlier about the youth, mm-hmm. we also have many youth in prison. Mm-hmm. So how is it celebrated inside the prison? Not all offenders will have access to imams who will be able to lead the Eid Salah inside the various prisons.
Mm-hmm.
So I must say, I don't even, the only one I know of is maybe in Cape Town, where we will have a youth program for the offenders.
Yes.
But spare a thought for those who are incarcerated and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must guide them and bless them.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is the National Muslim Prison Board, with the official NGO representing all offenders in the country,
mm-hmm.
partnership, of course, with the Department of Correctional Services. So we have opened the doors for many Muslims to be able to have access to Islamic education.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main purposes of the National Muslim Prison Board is to preserve the Aqidah of the believers inside the prison.
Gee.
And for us to celebrate Eid, alhamdulillah, it's very difficult because we do not have that many imams available to give their time
mm-hmm.
to go read the Eid Salah inside the prison.
Yes.
But of course, alhamdulillah, that provision and that opportunity is available, because over the years, part of the National Prison Board to make ensure that we have rehabilitation programs.
But Maulana, sorry, I just want you to please just brief us, like, on the day of Eid, you know, what exactly, you know, is the program? Like you say, not all prisons have it where, you know, there's an Eid Salah that's performed. So those that do have it, right, like, you know, are there any special meals provided? Are family members allowed to visit on the day of Eid? You know, just to give us a scenario of what Eid al-Fitr is like in prison.
Yes, first of all, because why the prison is a security institution.
Yes.
Most prisons where people are sentenced will not have visiting on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have visiting on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the imams who are teaching inside the various prisons,
mm-hmm.
they will be able to make Eid Salah with the offenders.
Yes.
And also, if they have arranged with the permission and in consultation with the head of prison,
mm-hmm.
they will be able to have special food on that day. Fortunately for myself, over the years that I've been in correctional service, I've written policy so which enable our Muslims to have an Eid program on Eid day.
Mm.
Alhamdulillah. So, like I said, many of our prisons don't have imams. servicing them on a regular basis.
Yes,
but
yes.
Those, the main prisons, like for example in your area where we have Sun City and a few others, there are imams falling under the Muslim prison board Gauteng, and they will be conducting Eid Salah in the prisons.
So they do it, on the day of Eid. And also during the month of Ramadan, you know, when it comes to special meals, you know, for the brothers and sisters who are fasting, you know, do there are meals provided?
Yes, alhamdulillah, there are means provided, but again, that is only where there are imams or muallimas teaching in these particular prisons.
Yes.
And I know the upper at the Johannesburg prison, alhamdulillah, I did meet with her just a few weeks before Ramadan. I ran a workshop on how they should be more effective inside the prison.
Yes.
And she will be providing food for the Muslim ladies, alhamdulillah.
May Allah reward her in abundance. Malala, you know, like you mentioned, you know, there are youth that are incarcerated as well. Can you please share some advice with our youth that are listening? You know, sometimes, unfortunately, just moving away from the topic, just very briefly, but because, I mean, you obviously have first-hand experience, you know, our youth that sometimes get involved in the wrong company, indulging in substance abuse and many things that obviously would displease, first and foremost, Allah, would upset their parents in criminal activities. What would you like to say to them? What is your advice to them?
My advice to the youth is, your youth is the best time of your life, and use it so that it can be of benefit to you and of great value for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to be implementing the vices that are contrary to the standards and teachings of Islam, you will surely end up in prison. It's not a great place to be. Many of our youth have great regrets, and some of them will share with me that if only they have just one more chance to start all over again, they will do it in a different way. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that none of our children ever go into that path by landing inside the prison. You are normally locked up for 23 hours and you have only 1 hour for exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are of those who are fortunate to be in an educational program or Islamic program, that's the only time that you will have free time. So we advise them, for example, that make use of the education, the knowledge, go learn your deen, go study by the madaris, and be obedient to your parents and fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That way you will be successful in this world
inshallah,
and in the year after.
Inshallah. And to our brothers and sisters that are in prison, obviously we make dua that, you know, Allah make things easy for them. You know, we are not here to judge. May Allah forgive all of us for our sins. May Allah grant us all hidayat. And, you know, inshallah, Allah make it easy for all of you and your team and who are involved in giving of your time and your kindness and your compassion to help fellow Muslims. May Allah reward you in abundance, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair, alhamdulillah. To conclude, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must bless us, guide us, and give us acceptance of this great month of Ramadan.
Ameen. Thumma ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, we look forward to chatting to you again soon. Please remember us in your duas, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Afa Fahima, definitely food for thought. You know, I could see when we were speaking, you know, that feeling of, you know, Ya Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, jazakum Allah khairan for the blessings that you have showered upon me. You know, we were talking now that, you know, we complain during the month of Ramadan, we don't have time. Did we ever sit and think, Ya Allah, what about the people who don't have freedom? We take our freedom for granted, the freedom to just walk outside and just be you, but you don't realize it. To be alive comes with responsibility. What are your thoughts? I think you're still shaking your head and you're thinking, Ya Allah.
I think so much has been mentioned, and that closing message was so powerful, subhanAllah. And one of the thoughts that went through my mind was the aspect of charity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're speaking about Ramadan and Eid, and we are speaking about family members, and that ni'mat I learned over the past 2 weeks that sometimes, unfortunately, due to circumstances, families don't have that one meal together every day, a basic family. And they wait for the day of Eid because that's the only day both mother and father are available to the children. And usually when it comes to Eid, most of us go the extra mile to ensure that we meet our families and we spoil our families, subhanAllah. Mm. And here you have that, like you say, your freedom of that is also taken away.
Mm.
And what must the feeling be of that mother that knows that her child is in prison?
Mm.
Or what is the feeling of that father who is in prison knowing that he cannot be with his wife and his children? There's so many thoughts going through my mind. And the aspect of charity, subhanAllah, you know, we always say charity begins at home. And many of us, subhanAllah, have a basic understanding of charity. We, on the day of Eid, we discharge our sadaqatul fitr, and thereafter we give the odd 100 rand, 10 rand, 50 rand to the kiddies around us, subhanAllah, and we have a lavish feast, alhamdulillah. But there are, subhanAllah, people amongst us in our community who extend that idea of family to community, where they take strangers, people who are less fortunate, and they feed them. And I think just listening to this entire interview regarding prison, and like you say, imagine having 23 hours where you have no freedom at all, and just that 1 hour a day. It's really something that I think it hit me home. It hit home really hard.
Definitely. Yes.
And we will complain. How many of us delay our salah a whole hour later because we have the time?
Mm-hmm. And the time. We take our time for granted, unfortunately. And like we say with Ramadan, Ramadan shows us that, you know, time is going. You know, there's time now for Iftar, then it's time for Taraweeh. Before you know it, it's time for Tahajjud, then it's Sehri. The thing is that, you know what, we don't realize that our time is so valuable. How are we spending it?
Yes.
How are we spending it? Like we spoke about, you know, spending Eid night in dhikr, in remembrance of Allah and thanking Allah. On the day of Eid also, yes, it's beautiful to spend time with family. MashaAllah, that is what is encouraged. You know, men, you know, keep the bonds of family ties strong. But then also taking time to think about others who do not have the blessings that you have.
Yes.
Like we said, you know, the families where they have some certain members that are in prison, or even those who, you know, have family members who are sick in hospital. Think, you know, with them where they have to now separate their time. Someone who's lost a family member now in Ramadan, you know, Eid al-Fitr will not be a very pleasant day for them. They're going to be very sad. So, you know, spare thought, especially to our youth. You know, when parents talk about, let's think about other people, that's also sadaqah, where we're giving off our time and consideration to other people. So, for our children, just to realize that, be grateful for what you have.
Speaking about the youth particularly, like the message was so loud and clear that in your youth, whatever time you have, apply it to your knowledge, apply it to learning, apply it to reforming yourself then. And I think this is the thing with Eid. I'm going back to our celebration aspect. If we as parents, inshallah ta'ala, inculcate in our children the correct concept and idea of Eid, that it's not only about material things, that we can't spare a thought for somebody who is less off than us.
Mm-hmm.
There has been so many messages going around, and I'm sure you have received some yourself, where orphanages and people who are less fortunate than ourselves will ask, do you have abayas in this range and that range? If we do, why not take out one or two good ones and give it with that niyat that, you know what, somebody else will wear it, and to them, to you it may be old, but to them it's a new piece of clothing.
Most definitely.
And you will make their day. And if we as parents inculcate these habits of charity from the get-go, when children are young, when they are much older, inshallah ta'ala, they are going to carry on this legacy. And this is Isaliya Thawab for us as well.
Of course, most definitely. I remember previously, I think our first show that we did together, we spoke about the importance of salam. And we don't realize that salam in itself is so important. There's so much of reward in there. What is the special greeting that is advised on the day of Eid?
SubhanAllah, you know, this is the beauty of Eid. Eid has its own, it says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept the good customs, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought more goodness into it. And even our reminder of our greeting, subhanAllah, brings us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is said, one particular narration, and this is by Umar bin Abdulaziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, it is said that even though he was Amirul Mu'mineen at the time, when he used to go to the Musalla and he used to meet the people, he would extend his hands and he would say, Taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum. And that, oh Allah, accept all this ibadah that we've done from us and from you as well. And this is so beautiful.
Ameen.
Again, not only thinking about ourselves, because it doesn't say just accept my ibadah.
Yes.
It says accept the ibadah of the next person. So this greeting is actually the greeting that we should be greeting each other with.
Mm-hmm.
I know many of us, mashallah, we go Eid Mubarak and Eidun Sa'idun, and we have all this goodness and we intend well, alhamdulillah. Now attach it to taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum. Let me just repeat that for the benefit of the learners. Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum.
Amen.
And inshallah, just meeting our kiddies, the smaller children, meeting even our parents, etc., extend the hand, a warm hug, and let them know that we're really happy to enjoy this day with them.
Alhamdulillah. And most importantly, to thank Allah that inshallah we make dua that, you know, there's still time before Eid, that we get to see the day of Eid, inshallah, and many more. And may Allah be pleased with our efforts and accept from us.
Ameen.
Inshallah. Ameen.
Sister Bibi Aisha, you actually, you and I were speaking about family members and visiting family members. I know when we speak of Laylatul Qadr, I know I'm going slightly backward here, but inshallah it will just round up with the Eid aspect. It is said that, you know, Allah Ta'ala withholds the du'as of certain people, and amongst those certain people are people who intentionally do not uphold family ties.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is something that is very, very deep. I mean, another hadith states that if you want a long life, meaning a life full of barakah, then uphold family ties.
Very
and
important.
Many people, subhanAllah, we know the 15th night of Sha'aban comes along, and then you have all these maaf messages, forgive me, etc. Ramadan starts, and then you're like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it, and we forgive each other. But then we go back and revert to our old ways, because what happens is, we have verbally said, I'm sorry, but we have not moved on.
That's
and
true.
I think Allah is the one that knows us so well. Allah knows our hearts, our du'as. We should genuinely mend those family ties.
Most definitely. And what better way than the time of Eid? I mean, if you have grandparents, go and visit your grandparents. You don't know if they're going to be around the next Eid. You know, there's uncles, aunties. Make that effort to be with them. You know, like we spoke the last time as well. We feel that sometimes people say, this one's older, you should go to the younger person. Not necessarily.
Yes.
Even if you're young and you go to the older person. Either way is, you know, Allah will be pleased with what you're doing.
Yes.
So may Allah accept from us, inshallah, sister.
And something else Sheikh Azim said was that he spoke of something that is regret.
Yes.
He said, don't do something that you will regret.
Most definitely.
And in Arabic, you use the term nadama. You know, it's that extreme regret that I could have done better or I should not have done. And like he said, and this was resonating with me as well, he said, if only we could have one more day just to reform ourselves and not do what we did.
Yes.
It must not be that when Eid comes, we feel that if we just had that one more day in Ramadan, we haven't given our all.
Most definitely. It's never too late to make a difference. Never too late. But before I'm going to ask you for your Eid message, I have two very young guests here who have been very eager to come on air with me, and they just want to share their Eid message and Ramadan message. I have Muhammad Badat, who is just 6 years old. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And how are you this morning, my baby?
Alhamdulillah.
Are you well? Alhamdulillah. Now, I've heard you have been keeping all your rozas ever since you were 4 years old, is that correct?
Ji.
And alhamdulillah, you've been fasting all this year as well?
Ji.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. I hope you're remembering me in your duas. You are? Muhammad, what would you like to tell all the children that are listening to the show right now, and to all the mummies and daddies and everybody that is listening to you right now?
All the listeners who are listening today, please be good all the time, not just in Ramadan, all the time.
And may Allah accept all their du'as? Inshallah, ameen. And we make dua that Allah accepts all your du'as as well?
Yeah.
Inshallah, ameen. Thumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. And you have your sister there next to you as well?
Yeah.
Okay, Lutfiya. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you today, Lutfiya?
Alhamdulillah.
Are you well? Alhamdulillah. How has Ramadan been for you, my darling?
Very, alhamdulillah.
Shukr, alhamdulillah. Do you have any message that you would like to share with our listeners, my baby? What would you like to tell the listeners? They must have a good Eid, inshallah.
To have a good Eid, and after Ramadan, be very good and read all your salah.
Ameen. Ameen. Thumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. What better advice? Jazakum Allah khairan, Lutfiya. And remember us in your du'as as well, okay? Jazakum Allah khairan. Apa Fahima Bam, before we end our show, what would you like to share with our listeners? And, you know, listening to these two beautiful young children give such beautiful messages. May Allah accept from them and us, inshallah.
Firstly, I think we should just advise the youth and remind them that they are the flag bearers of our ummah.
Mm-hmm.
They are the future of our ummah. We always tell children this, but children need to understand that the knowledge that they are given today, inshallah, is going to empower them tomorrow. To emphasize this point, I just like to say that, you know, when the Battle of Badr took place, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a few captives there, and they were given a choice of ransom of either 3,000 dirhams to be set free or to teach the Muslims how to read and write.
Mm-hmm.
And if knowledge was not emphasized on, why would that be a ransom? Subhanallah. And when it comes to all our habits and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, empower themselves now, because inshallah in another 10 and 15 years time, they are going to be the adults of tomorrow. They're going to be the mothers and fathers of tomorrow. And the habits that they set now, inshallah ta'ala, is going to carry them through throughout their lives. And on E-Day, inshallah, if they can, inshallah, apart from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is of course the takbir, and of course greeting each other in the sunnah manner, etc., they should remember to do everything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen. Beautiful words, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts. Jazakumullahu khairan again for making the time to share such beautiful information with us. May Allah accept all of your du'as.
Ameen.
Remember
Ameen.
Us in yours. Ameen. And to my beloved listeners, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our ibadat. May Allah accept from us, and inshallah, I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please remember us in your du'as. Myself and my engineer. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.